Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, April 3, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are in verse 10, and the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. Every church age believer will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be evaluated by him. And I expect all of you to stand there before him with great confidence. Why? Because you love him. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because you've advanced to maturity, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and I expect you to stand there before Jesus Christ with the greatest confidence. But there will be many, many believers that will stand before Jesus Christ with shame, with embarrassment, with regrets. Because they failed to live the spiritual life, failed to advance to maturity, failed to have virtue, love brought to completion in the heart. But we will all be evaluated by Christ. So in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 John chapter 5. 2 John 5 verse 10, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body, in accordance with those things that he has done. Whether agathos, intrinsically good, or phallos, worthless. And of course, this brought us to a study of the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. We have completed 10 points and we're partway through point 11. Our verse, 2 Corinthians 5:10, presents the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is the evaluation of the believer's performance in the plan of God during his short time that he's here on planet Earth. If the believer lives his life in the cosmic system, it is phallos. His life is worthless. He has failed to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. He has failed to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has failed to attain spiritual maturity. He has failed to have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. However, if the believer lives the spiritual life and advances to spiritual maturity, his life is agathos, intrinsically good. And the winner believer will receive crowns and rewards and decorations above and beyond the resurrection body. However, the loser believer is the one who loses out on these decorations and rewards. So the issue is that your life for all eternity is now in the making. Winner believers will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, while loser believers will lose out on these decorations and rewards. Winner believers will have great confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, while loser believers will have shame, embarrassment, and regrets. We just got started in point 11, the various rewards, crowns, decorations that will be awarded to the winner believer. There are three categories of crowns, Stephanos, for believers in the Word of God. The first two are available to all of you, available to every member of the royal family of God. The last one is available to pastor teachers only. The first one, the crown of righteousness, and the second one, the crown of life, those are available to all of you, and I expect all of you to receive those crowns and rewards, the crown of righteousness and the crown of life. The third one, the crown of glory, is for the spiritually mature pastor teacher who is faithful to study and teach the Word of God. For that pastor who has great self-discipline. And only the mature believer has great self-discipline to study and study and study and study and study and teach and teach and teach. That takes the greatest self-discipline. And only the spiritually mature believer has that self-discipline. And the Apostle Paul, he understood this and he was concerned. He did not want to be disqualified. He didn't want to be disqualified for receiving the crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And therefore, he, in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, says the key is Self-discipline, self-discipline, self-discipline. Great, great self-discipline. And he was concerned. He knew the danger that a communicator of the Word of God could be disqualified because of lack of self-discipline to study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. Now I'm here every day, studying every day. I study every day and teach five times a week. And there are a lot of fundies that think that, well, you must be in a cult. You go to church five times. Well, I said, yeah, I teach five times a week. That doesn't mean that all the believers attend five times a week. But I said, there is nothing more important in your life. Nothing, absolutely nothing. The Word of God, learning and believing the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And you've heard me say that 1 million, 2 million, 5 million times. The Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And it's absolutely reality in my life. I still remember Al said, well, this fella, Rich Blair, called. And he wanted to know if you were going to be here but between this date and this date, or if you're going to be on vacation. I said, well, you tell him I'm on vacation every day. I'm on vacation now. I'm on vacation every day. 365 days a year I'm on vacation. Because I'm doing what God put me here to do. He put me here to feed His sheep. And the only way I can do that is to study and study and study and study and teach and study and teach. So I said, you tell them that I'm on vacation 365 days a year. Yes, I'll be here. And don't say, oh, I feel sorry for Pastor Olson. Don't feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you. The ones that don't have that kind of mental attitude. I feel sorry for you. Don't feel sorry for me. I have great happiness, the greatest happiness possible, doing what God put me here to do. We'll look at the passage. The Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? Yes, sir. Then feed my sheep. Bosco, feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? He kept asked again and again. Poimaino, my sheep. Bosco, my sheep, poimaino, my sheep, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. You love me? That's what you're here for. That's why I'm here. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm on vacation 365 days a year, and I'm an old fart. I'm an old fart, and I'm here every single day. A lot of you are younger, and I never see you half the time. You got this, you get a little sniffle, you get a little, your nose is running, your ears are plugged, and next thing you know, you're not here. Hell, I'm here whether I feel good or I don't feel good. And I have a bad case of measles. My knees ache all the time. Big deal. It's just pain. So what? Just pain. But I'm here whether I got measles or not. It's only pain. Doesn't take away from sharing the happiness of God. doesn't take away from my personal love for Jesus Christ. It's just a hurdle. And I love running hurdles. It's just a hurdle to clear. And God's giving me the precisely correct procedure to clear it. His problem-solving devices, and I know them, and they're on the flat line of my soul. I know them, I believe them, and I use them to clear these hurdles. And when you clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing, you not only have the crown of righteousness, you have the crown of life. So we are at point 11 in the judgment seat of Christ. The rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Three categories of crowns. Crown of righteousness, the crown of life, which are available to all believers, and the crown of glory available for the pastor teacher. Now the crown of righteousness, every believer has God's righteousness. That's what happened. That's what justification means. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputes His righteousness to you and declares you to be righteous, justified. Every believer, even Old Testament believers, were justified by faith in Jesus Christ. All believers have had the righteousness from God. This isn't talking about that. It isn't talking about that at all. If that's the case, all believers will receive the crown of righteousness. But all believers do not receive the crown of righteousness. Only winner believers receive the crown of righteousness. Only winner believers. So, yeah, every believer has the imputed righteousness of God, and the church age believer has a double portion of righteousness because through the baptism of the Spirit, he's entered into union with Christ and shares the righteousness of Jesus Christ too. So every church age believer has a double portion of righteousness, but that has nothing to do with the crown of righteousness. Nothing at all. If that was true, then every church-age believer would receive the crown of righteousness, but they won't. They won't. In fact, in this generation, most of them will stand there with shame, embarrassment, and regrets, and they will not receive any crowns, any rewards, any decoration. They have their resurrection body, and that's it. And that's all they have. And that's all for all time, all eternity. So the crown of righteousness, the best way for you to understand it, this is the crown of grace righteousness. This crown is awarded to the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ to the church age believer who has attained grace righteousness, which is a synonym for spiritual maturity. So the crown of righteousness is in reality the crown of grace righteousness. It's available to all believers who advance to spiritual maturity, to grace righteousness, and become winner believers. This is given to spiritually mature believers with emphasis on the attainment of grace righteousness. The believer who wears the invisible uniform of honor. You see, right now, the uniform of honor, it's invisible. Only winner believers have it. And if you're a winner believer, then you are wearing in your heart the invisible uniform of honor. The believer who wears the invisible uniform of honor will receive the crown of righteousness. Now this uniform of honor is described for us, and we've studied it in Colossians 3, 12 to 14. The function of virtue love is the manifestation of the invisible uniform of honor, as we saw in Colossians 3, verse 14. The crown of righteousness is given for your attainment of grace righteousness, the attainment of virtue and honor and integrity, the fulfillment of the Royal Family Honor Code. You are living your life by the Royal Family Honor Code, and therefore you have the invisible uniform of honor in your soul. The Apostle Paul was looking forward to receiving the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. And every believer has the opportunity to receive the crown of righteousness. And then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, it says, to those who love his appearing. And that has a very special meaning. It means you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It means you have personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It means you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, you love his appearing. It means you have occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the crown of grace righteousness. And then the crown of life. And this crown is awarded to the church-age believer who, in spiritual maturity, he's qualified now to receive suffering for blessing. That fabulous greater grace category called suffering for blessing. And he clears the hurdles. He clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And especially the crown of life looks at the highest category of suffering for blessing, which is evidence testing. That's the highest one. That testing is given to you, comes to you by Satan. Satan administers evidence testing. The highest category of suffering for blessing is evidence testing. Revelation 2:10. It's administered by Satan himself as an extension of the angelic conflict. And we saw that last time. By clearing the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing, the spiritually mature believer has glorified God to the maximum. And therefore, he will receive the crown of life. Then in James 1:12 also talks about the crown of life. And it tells us that happiness is not confined to when everything's going hunky-dory, when everything is wonderful, when you have great health, when you have no pain, when you have millions of dollars. I don't want millions of dollars. The government will take it. Don't worry, I don't have millions of dollars. Now, some of you might win Upland Bible Church, March Madness. And the check will be on your way. That $1 million check. And it will bounce higher. I feel sorry for some of you. You have no sense of humor. That's one thing. In times of suffering for blessing, the winner believer has great, great sense of humor. And James 1:12 tells us that happiness is not confined to prosperity, but also in times of great suffering for blessing. The believer who attains spiritual maturity and occupation with Jesus Christ shares the happiness of God. Even under the greatest categories of adversity, shares the happiness of God. The crown of life is awarded to all members of the royal family of God who clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing by using precisely correct procedure. And precisely correct procedure is utilizing God's problem-solving devices, having them, knowing them, believing them, having them out on the flat line of your soul, the faith thrust life, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. And when I say impersonal love for all, for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's a lot of, today, a lot of bad and ugly. But you have impersonal love for all. Occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God. Well, that brings us to the next crown, the crown of glory. And this one is for pastors only. Sorry. So point one, the crown of glory is awarded to pastors. Pastors who faithfully study and teach the Word of God to their congregation. The crown of glory is awarded to pastors who faithfully study and teach the Word of God to their congregation. By faithfully studying and teaching the Word of God, both the pastor and positive members of the congregation will attain spiritual maturity. Point two, now there are four categories of pastors in the church age. Four categories of pastors in the church age. Number one, the cosmic pastor. This is the pastor who lives his life out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. He is distracted by social action, by crusader arrogance. He is totally disoriented to reality. He is extremely arrogant, self-righteous, and ignorant of the Word of God. That's the cosmic pastor. We got a lot of those today. A lot of cosmic pastors. The second one is the baby pastor. The baby pastor, well, he gives you the gospel every time you come to class. You hear the gospel, then you hear the gospel, then you hear the gospel. Nothing wrong with communicating the gospel. If I see somebody that I haven't seen before, I give the gospel. Otherwise, I hold to what I'm teaching in that class. So the baby pastor, he evangelizes and he'll give moral lectures, but that's about it. Then third, there's the adolescent pastor. And the adolescent pastor will teach some truth, but he is distracted by the non-essentials of life. He gets involved in programs, church programs, calling on the congregation. You notice I haven't called on you lately. He's visiting the sick. I did visit one time Harlan. Harlan was in and he was having some things done while he's in the hospital. And I came in with a great big balloon that said, "It's a boy." And as I'm at the hospital and getting ready to get on the elevator, they go, "Oh, your wife had a boy?" I said, "No, this is a guy." "What?" You know, it's kind of a joke, but anyway. So I walk in with the balloon. "It's a boy." He put it there and all the nurses got a kick out of that. So I did visit him in the hospital to make him laugh more than anything else. The adolescent pastor can be a pseudo-intellectual, a crusader, a bleeding heart, self-righteous. He can even be a pleasing personality, or he can be very arrogant. He appeals to those who are not interested in God and they're not interested in the Word of God. And he does not have the time to study. He doesn't have the time to study. So he doesn't study. And then there is the mature pastor teacher, and we have very few of those today. They're getting fewer and fewer all the time. And the mature pastors that were here, most of them have gone home to be with the Lord. They're in heaven now. And those that were mature pastors that are still living, they no longer are pastors of their church. They've retired from the ministry. There are very, very, very few mature pastor teachers in America today. Through personal study and teaching, this pastor advances to spiritual maturity himself, and then he is leading his congregation to spiritual maturity. But only those members of the congregation who have positive volition and humility, the respect for the authority of God, the respect for the authority of the Word of God, the respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. This mature pastor has the crown of righteousness as well, and many times has the crown of life as well. He emphasizes living the spiritual life of the church age, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, fulfilling the mandates that God has given us, the mandate to keep on being empowered by the Spirit, the mandate to walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature, the mandate to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. So he emphasizes living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, growing up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He emphasizes the importance of consistency and faithfulness to metabolize Bible doctrine, and the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, the reason why you're here, the ultimate objective why you are here, is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It starts with the motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father. That has to come first. And then that will motivate impersonal love for all mankind, and then occupation with Jesus Christ. The mature pastor is a prepared person academically, and he knows where he stands theologically. He knows that his obligation and responsibility is to feed and shepherd the Lord's sheep. And that's in John chapter 21. So turn over to John 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and we have two different words for love used in this passage. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? Do you agapao me? Do you love me with virtue love? Do you have personal love for me? Occupation with Jesus Christ? Do you agapao me, virtue love, more than these? And then Peter answered, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I phileo you. P-H-I-L-E long O. You know that I phileo you. And that's a total soul love. Total soul love is phileo. He says, you know that I have a total soul love for you. So Jesus said, then Bosco, my lambs. B-O-S-K, long O, Bosco, the word to feed. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? Second time. Do you agapao me? Do you have virtue, love for me, occupation with Jesus Christ? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you with a total soul love. And Jesus said then, poimeno, my sheep. So he's instructed to Bosco, and he's instructed to poimeno, P-A-I-M-A-I-N, long O. And that's the word shepherd. Shepherd my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, this time he says, do you phileo me? Do you love me with a total soul love? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I phileo you, love you with a total soul love. And Jesus said, then Bosco, then feed my sheep. This is the obligation and the responsibility of every pastor teacher. This is why the pastor is here. Not to run all around, not to go visiting and going to hospitals and having programs started in the church and this and that and all the different things. It is his responsibility, his obligation is to feed the Lord's sheep and shepherd the Lord's sheep. The pastor's crown of glory is documented in 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn over to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5. First Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Let's starts out in verse 1. To the elders among you. Now, the word elders is the plural of presbyteros. P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S. And presbyteros means the old man. Probably why they translate elders. It means literally the old man, but not because he's old. You could be 20 years old and be the old man if you're a pastor of a church. It means the one with highest authority. And the highest authority in the church age today is the pastor teacher. There are no apostles. The highest authority is the pastor teacher. He is the presbyteros. He's the old man. He's the highest authority. He's the commander. That's a good translation, commander. He's the commanding officer. And there's only one commanding officer for each local church, and that's the gift of pastor teacher. He is the highest authority. He is the commanding officer. And you'll never benefit from that authority or commanding officer unless you have respect for the authority of God, His Word, and that pastor with highest authority who teaches the Word of God. That's what we have here. Now, Some of the men in the military understand the term the old man. Gary Brown, Navy. The old man, the commanding officer of the ship, he was the old man. He understand. And I'll say this, not that you have to do it. This is something Gary Brown's done from the get-go. Every time he comes here, he salutes me. He salutes me out of respect for the commanding officer. And I don't expect any of you to try to do something like that. This is him with maximum respect for authority. That's the presbyteros. That's the pastor teacher. The commanding officer. There are no apostles today. There is no authority higher than the pastor teacher. And there's only one for each local church. So, to the commanding officers, to the old man with highest authority among you, I appeal as a fellow commanding officer, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds. Shepherd, what did the Lord tell Peter? Shepherd my sheep. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Serving, now we have another word for the pastor. Serving as an episkopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Episkopos. And episkopos is a guardian. The guardian of the flock. That's an episkopos. Overseer is the guardian of the flock. And the policy maker. The pastor teacher is the policy maker. You're not the policy maker. The pastor teacher is the episkopos and the policy maker. So we have, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as guardians, episkopos, guardians of the flock, policy makers, overseers. Not because you must, but because you are willing. I don't spend 365 days a year studying and teaching because I must, because I want to. It's because I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I want to. And that's why, yes, I'm on vacation 365 days a year. And I'm in here teaching 5 times a week, week after week after week after week after week. When you're here, when you're not here, I'm here teaching the Word of God. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy. I didn't get into the ministry to make money. My dad, when I told him, he always asked me when I was at Washington State University, always asked me, when I come home, what are you going to be? You going to be an engineer? You're going to be, he always saw me being an engineer, making lots and lots of money. And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to be. God will show me. I said, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do yet. He said, well, what are you majoring in? I said, English. What can you do with that? I said, well, I could teach. Ah! And you see, my dad went to school and talked to the teachers and all, and they said, you know, Dick can be whatever he decides to be. He can, whatever he wants. And so my dad saw dollar signs. He's going to be a millionaire. He's going to make lots of money. He's going to... Well, God showed me I had the gift of pastor-teacher, and I was so excited. I was so excited, and I drove back home, only 80 miles between Pullman and Spokane. My dad was out on the job, and I went out on the job, and he's there with his hard hat on, with a pipe in his mouth, overalls, hard hat, pipe. I said, Dad, I know what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. He goes, yeah, what is it? I'm going to be a pastor teacher. He bit through the pipe and broke the pipe off. Broke the end of the pipe off. Not one of those. And then my dad knew every four-letter word that there was. Blankety, blank, 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 preachers. I said, no, I'm not going to be one of those guys. I'm going to be a pastor teacher. I'm going to feed God's sheep. And he had a hard time with that. He didn't clear that hurdle for a long time, but he eventually did. And he would come down here and visit. And my dad was in construction his whole life, and one time he was up about three or four stories and fell and broke his back. And he can't sit in chairs like you're sitting in. So he would sit in the back and listen to class. And then he'd come home and he'd say, Rich, he says, the world needs more guys, more people like you doing what you're doing. That was going from 0 to 100. I said, thanks, Dad. He said, this is what this world needs. People like you doing what you're doing. I said, well, that means a lot coming from you, sir. I appreciate it. And I love my father very, very much. And he came a long, long ways. And spiritually in his life. First of all, he didn't even become saved for quite a while. But I kept giving him the gospel and giving him the gospel and giving him the gospel. And one time I went in, and there he was sitting on the side of the bed smoking a cigarette in his skivvies. Smoking. I came in and sat down next to him. I said, Dad, you all right? He goes, I don't know what this world, what we're leaving for you. This world is falling apart. I said, Dad, Jesus Christ is in control of the whole thing. He's in control of the whole thing, and the Bible says he controlling history. I said, the most important thing for you is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I'm too much of a sinner. I'll be in hell with all my buddies. And I said, well, you're not too much of a sinner, Dad. First of all, you got one foot in heaven because you know you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Now, you got one foot there. All you have to do is simply believe in Jesus Christ who paid the penalty. He paid the penalty for all those sins you think are too bad, and you can't get to heaven. He paid the penalty for all those sins. It's already gone to court. He's already paid for it. And then he offers you a gift, eternal life, if you just believe in him. Well, my dad believed in Christ. And then after he believed in Christ, he started growing in Bible doctrine, learning it and believing it. And it got to be more and more fun to go home and see my dad, and he would come here and visit and see him here. It was great. So the pastor's crown of glory. But because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy, you don't go into the ministry for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Never. That crown of glory will be greater grace blessings that glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. The pastor's crown of glory is received because certain members of his congregation with positive volition and genuine humility advance to spiritual maturity. So the happiness of the pastor comes from the positive response of those faithful to the teaching of the Word of God. Now, there is a warning and a danger, and the Apostle Paul understood that warning and danger, and he gives it in 1 Corinthians 9. And turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. And the danger is that if you don't have great self-discipline, you won't win the crown. Paul understood that, and he realized this was a warning, this was a danger. Without great self-discipline, you won't, pastors, or any of you, you won't win any crowns or rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. If everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we, royal family of God, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly without great self-discipline. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I discipline my body and keep it in training so that after I have kerusoed, proclaim the plan and policy of the King, Jesus Christ, to others, I myself, the Apostle Paul, will not be disqualified for the prize. And Paul understood, if he doesn't have great self-discipline to study and teach and study and teach, he will be disqualified and will not receive the crown. So the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory. But there is another decoration, the ultimate decoration, the order of the morning star. And I don't know how most of you don't come till about 30 seconds before class starts, but we had a hymn I played about the title of Jesus Christ as the morning star. But you didn't hear that. I heard it, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be teaching about the decoration of the order of the morning star. The winner believer who receives the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory will also receive the order of the morning star. This decoration is taken from and named after our Lord's special title, the bright morning star. Turn over to Revelation 22. This decoration is taken from and named after our Lord's special title, the bright morning star. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. He has the title, the bright morning star. The order of the morning star is given to winner believers as the highest of all decorations and greater grace blessings given by the Lord Jesus Christ. This decoration is awarded to those who attain and maintain the ultimate objective of having virtue love brought to completion in their heart. This decoration is mentioned as a part of greater grace blessing for the eternal state in Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 28. So turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2. And we have all the way through you, well, my translation has him who overcomes. Oh, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible translation of a articular participle, ha nikon. This is what it looks like. Ha, that definite article tells you that this is substantival. It's used as a noun. And here's the participle from, this is from the verb nikao, N-I-K-A. Well, yeah, come on here. I get between Greek and English. Nikao means to be victorious. Nike. Some of you wear Nike. It means victory. Nike, victory. Nikao, to be victorious. Ha nikon is the victor, the winner. The best way to translate ha nikon is the winner believer. This is the winner believer, not overseer. Winner believer. So to the ha nikon, the winner believer, who does my will to the end. Are you a winner believer? Or a loser believer? To the winner believer who does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. There's part of the order of the morning star is you rule with Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. You will rule with Christ in the millennium. In verse 28, go down to verse 28. I will also give him the morning star. I will also give him the morning star. So this decoration is the order of the morning star given to Ha Nikon, all winner believers. They will not only reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom, they will be given the order of the morning star. The spiritually mature believer will not only then rule with Christ in the millennium, verse 26, but he will also be given the order of the morning star, verse 28. So one, receiving this decoration is the highest manifestation of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in the church age. Receiving this decoration is the highest manifestation of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in the church age. Two, the order of the morning star is named after our Lord's royal title and is given for historical impact in the church age. This winner believer has great historical impact in the church age. Three, it authorizes the recipient to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom and to hold the highest privileges for all eternity. It authorizes the recipient to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom and hold the highest privileges for all eternity. Four, there are at least seven privileges that accompany the order of the morning star. At least seven privileges. Privilege number one. Well, right now, the winner believer has an invisible uniform in his soul, the uniform of honor. So privilege number one, that uniform of honor, which is invisible and worn in the soul of the winner believer, Colossians 3:12-14, is exchanged at the judgment seat of Christ for the translucent uniform of glory worn over the resurrection body. So privilege number one, that uniform of honor which is invisible and worn in the soul of the winner believer, Colossians 3:12-14, is exchanged at the judgment seat of Christ. It's exchanged for the translucent uniform of glory worn over the resurrection body. Now, this translucent uniform of glory was first modeled by Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. First modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. Turn over to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. His clothes became as white as light. So this translucent uniform of glory was first modeled by Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. The uniform of glory is a monument to right decisions. The uniform of glory is given as a translucent light which covers the resurrection body of the winner believer. The uniform of glory is given as a translucent light which covers the resurrection body. Look over at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Starting at verse 4. Revelation 3, verse 4. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. These are winner believers. They have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. They're winner believers. He, the winner believer, Hanakon, will, like them, be dressed in white. The winner believer will be dressed in white. Uniform of glory worn over the resurrection body. Privilege number two. The name of the winner believer appears on the honors list, and he is presented in the court of heaven while the tribulation is going on in the earth. So the name of the winner believer appears on the honors list, and he is presented in the court of heaven while the tribulation is going on in the earth. Only those on the honor list are presented to God the Father. The honors list is made up of those believers who accomplish the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. And this is Revelation 3:5b. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. but will acknowledge His name before my Father and His angels. So the name of the winner believer appears on the honors list, and he's presented to God the Father. The honors list is made up of those believers who accomplish the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in their heart. Privilege number three, a new order of knighthood. A new order of knighthood and eternal order of chivalry will be added to the believer's name in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. A new order of knighthood and eternal order of chivalry will be added to the believer's name in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. This new knighthood is given to the winner believer. Revelation 2. Revelation 2, verse 17. Revelation 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the Hanukkah, to the winner believer, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it. A new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Privilege number four. The winner believer will rule with Christ during the millennial kingdom. He will rule with Christ during the millennial kingdom. And we saw that in Revelation 2, verse 26. We've studied it also in 2 Timothy 2:12. You can turn over to 2 Timothy 2:12. Timothy 2:12, if we endure suffering for blessing as a winner believer, clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing, we will also reign with him as a spiritually mature believer. We'll reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. And Luke 19:17, Jesus Christ says, "Well done, my good servant," his master replied, "because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge, rule 10 cities. So the winner believer will rule with Christ during the millennium. Privilege number five, the winner's name is recorded in the permanent historical record section because of his invisible historical impact during the church age. The winner's name is recorded in the permanent historical record section because of his invisible historical impact during the church age. Revelation 3:12. Revelation 3:12. Again, to the Hanukkah, the winner believer, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. Now that pillar, this is looking at the time of Christ. They would have pillars in temples and record history on those pillars. So the impact of the winner believer, while it is anonymous as far as human history is concerned, it is not as far as God is concerned. The spiritually mature believer's historical record will be recorded forever in the heavenly temple. Each pillar in the heavenly temple will have the record of each winner believer's life. The temple of God is the eternal record center in the future, and this temple of God will be the historical textbook of the true heroes, the true heroes of history. And the true heroes in history in the world are winner believers. They are the invisible heroes. You are the true heroes. The spiritually mature believer as a part of the pivot has great invisible impact on history. Privilege number 6, the winner believer receives his own coat of arms. His own coat of arms of glory. Revelation 3, 12b. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name, Bright Morning Star. And then privilege number 7, the winner believer has special privileges related to the tree of life, the gazebo of the garden, called the paradise of God. So the winner believer has special privileges related to the tree of life, the gazebo of the garden called the paradise of God. You are a member of a special club with special parties, to which only you are invited. You are a member of the Paradise Club forever. A member of the Paradise Club forever. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the Hanukkah, the winner believer, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So the winner believer has special privileges related to the tree of life, the gazebo called the paradise of God. So you are a member of the special club with special parties to which only you are invited. You are a member of the paradise club forever. Well, these are special privileges for the Hanukkah, the winner believer. The order of the morning star with at least 7 privileges for those who receive the order of the morning star. The Hanukkah, the winner believers. There are winner believers. And only winner believers receive this. Loser believers lose out. No crown, no reward, no decorations, no order of the morning star for loser believers. This is for Hanukkah, winner believers only. Okay, well, I kept you a few minutes later because I didn't want to come back and go through the judgment seat of Christ again. But I may start out and just do a little bit of review next time before we go on to verse 11. You thought verses 1 through 10 were great? Wait till you see verse 11. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.